you have your Bibles, we're interested in the book of Mark, chapter number 11. The 11th chapter of the book of Mark this morning. I'll ask you if you would stand to your feet as we read from God's Word. Verse 1 says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into the Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I added verse 11. That's Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, if correctly read today. Today being Palm Sunday, we're celebrating the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. We appreciate the decor, these that have worked hard to set up the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we honor you today. Lord, we welcome your presence here. You are here with us. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And just as you entered that day into Jerusalem, you've entered into this sanctuary. You've entered into this old boy's heart. Lord, you've entered into this service today. And Father, we ask your blessing. We seek your face and we worship you. And we cry out and say, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Help us today, God, that we might see you and worship you this day. For in this name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated today. First of all, we want to title the message, The Triumphant Christ. The Triumphant Christ. Going to preach a series of messages, hopefully this month, about how Christ arose in victory. We're going to think about that famed victory, triumph. He's the victor today, amen. He's not a victim, he's the victor, amen. Thank God for him. Now, when we look at this text today, we see five things that will be done. Number one, we see the Lord's commission. Do you see it in verses 1 and 2? The Bible says that Jesus gets some of his disciples. He tells them to go out, and they're going to find a colt tied. It's a donkey that's tied. And he said, I want you to loose him and bring him back to me. We know that Jesus is getting ready to go towards the cross. It's Passover week. It's the last week of Jesus' life upon the earth. And there on that Sunday, he's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, knowing that by the end of the week, he'll be crucified. Knowing by the end of the week, he will have given his life, and they will lower him down into the tomb. The Bible says that Jesus is going to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Multitudes are traveling to Jerusalem. Can you see them as they fill the streets and line the sides of the streets, staying in villages and the surrounding area, getting ready for the Passover? Jesus says to a couple of his disciples in verse 2, go your way into the village that's over against you. So what he's saying is, I'm telling you to go. Is that not what he's commanded us to do? Has he not told us to go and teach all nations, commanding them whatever the Lord has taught us, that we're supposed to teach them the same thing? Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go and share the gospel. Furthermore, he gave them a promise. He said, when you go, look at it in verse 2. He says, you shall find the colt tied. Listen, the Lord's telling us to go, and you know what? We will find, amen. God will help us to win souls. God will help us to share the gospel with the lost and the dying, that they might be saved. Today, you and I have been given the Lord's commission, amen. Then number 2, there is a liberating call. The Bible tells us that in verse number 3, he says, as you loose that colt, if anyone says, why do you do this? You're supposed to look and say, the Lord has need of him. And that'll be the end of the subject. Just bring him back with me. Look at verse 4. He says, they went their way and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. Now they found this donkey. Let me say a couple things about a donkey here. This liberating call. Bethany, the Bible would tell us that in verse 1, he's between Bethany and Bethphage. Bethany means house of misery. Bethphage means the house of the unripe fig or the undeveloped. You know where Jesus found me? You know where Jesus found you? He found you in the house of misery. You were a sinner. He found you in the house of the undeveloped fig, the undeveloped fruit. We were not yet developed. When you get there, you're going to find a donkey. That donkey is, may I say this, he's cursed. Preacher Darren, what do you mean? I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Leviticus that if you have an animal that doesn't chew the cud, and if you have an animal that doesn't have a split hoof, that they're to be cursed. The donkey doesn't chew the cud. The donkey doesn't have a split hoof. So the donkey is living under a curse. Not only is he living under a curse, but I want you to know he's also at a place of crossroads. He's between Bethany and Bethphage. He's in a place where two ways met. May I also say, Jesus pointed out that this donkey would be tied. You're going to have to loose him and bring him with you. You know what he did? Not only was he cursed, and not only was he at a crossroads, but he was confined. You know, when the Lord found me, I was living under sin's curse. The wages of sin is death. Amen. You know, he found me at a place where two ways met, and I was the one on the wrong way. Amen. You know where he found me? He found me confined, tied up, bound up by sin. Sin controlled me. Sin dominated me, amen. But praise God, Jesus said, I want you to know that I'm going to give you a liberating call. Hallelujah for that. Think about it. Now, he's given a description of who I am. Cursed, at a crossroads, and confined. Then he gives me a prescription for deliverance. Let's talk about that deliverance. He made a request. He said, I want you to go and loose him and bring him. You know what that is? He's saying the Lord hath need of him. Hey, the Lord sent the Holy Ghost one night down to the Balfour Baptist Church. He had a request. I want you to go and find that boy that's a sinner, that's on his way to hell, and I want you to convict him. And I want you to draw him. I want you to love on him. I want you to woo him. And I want you to bring him to me. Hey, thank God. He requested. He chose you and me. Not only that, but this donkey that's there in this place under a curse and this place where he's confined, this donkey's going to have to be redeemed. Oh, yes, this donkey belongs to somebody else. I'm not just talking about the owner when they said, why do you loose the donkey? Well, the Lord has need of him, and let it go. I'm talking about I was under the authority of the devil. The devil was the one that owned me, and I was going to have to be redeemed. And you read the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, and verse 13, every firstling of an ass
thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if you don't redeem him, you're to break his neck. That's Exodus 13:13. Praise God, I needed to be redeemed by the blood of the lamb. Amen. Not only requested and redeemed, but I needed to be released. I was tied up. Sin dominated me. Sin controlled me. Sin held me in that dread sway. But thank God Jesus came and he loosed me and he let me go and he set me free and he made me free. And I praise him today. Not only that, but that donkey is going to have to be ruled. Think about it. The Bible, Jesus said, no man has ever sat on this donkey. You know, donkeys are a lot like you and me. We have a wild, rebellious nature. We don't just want to do things because we're supposed to do them. We have an old flesh that rebels against us. And no man has ever sat on this donkey. But when they bring this donkey to Jesus, my Bible tells me that Jesus is going to sit down on him and the donkey's not going to bray and the donkey's not going to kick. The donkey's not going to rebel, amen. The donkey is going to come under the rule and the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm glad, praise God, number two, that the Lord made a liberating call. He set us free. Thirdly, I see in verse number seven, I see our third point, lifting Christ. They've got that donkey. They bring that donkey to the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments upon him. And he sat upon him. In other words, the donkey, they didn't put a saddle on him. They put their garments upon the back of that donkey. And if you read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, it's a parallel passage. The Bible says that they took Jesus and they, can you just see him as he steps in their hand? Can you just see us lifting Jesus? Glory to God, that blesses me. But let me just lift Jesus up a little bit today, amen? And he steps on that hand that's lifting him up, and he sits down. You know what they did? They sat Jesus on that beast of burden. They placed him there. They put him in that. You're looking at me funny like it don't say it like that. Well, it don't say it in Mark, but turn to Luke 19 while you're, just don't lose your place. Look at Luke 19. Help us, Jesus. Luke 19 and verse 35, parallel passage. They brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt. You see, there's no saddle. And the Bible says, and they sat Jesus thereon. That means that they placed him above where they were and placed him on the back of that beast of burden. Honey, I want to ask you a question today. Where did you set Jesus? Have you set him as Lord of your life? Have you lifted him up? Or are you lifting yourself? Who are you? You're lifting someone today. You're promoting someone. You're placing someone into a position of authority in your life. Who are you setting up? These disciples, they set Jesus. They placed him. Thank God they placed him in that place. Now the Bible says, now listen, 500 years before, Zechariah is our writer. He predicted that the Messiah would come riding in on a colt. It would be a donkey. 500 years before. Seldom do kings come riding in on anything less than a white stallion or in a chariot. Jesus did not come as a conqueror in a chariot. Jesus did not come as a king on a white stallion. Jesus came as King of kings and Lord of lords on the back of a little old donkey. 500 years before, it was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Here's Jesus. He could have summoned angels and had them all stand at attention. But that day, he came riding in on a lowly donkey. Do you see Jesus' exalted position? Do you see Jesus, his effective power? when Jesus sat on that untrained, unbroken, wild, rebellious, sinful natured donkey, when Jesus sat on him, the donkey was calm. He was obedient. He was responsive. He was quiet. Thanks be unto God. If that donkey had been trained, if that donkey had been broken earlier, somebody would have taken the credit for that. Said, oh, look at that donkey that I trained. Look at that donkey that I broke. I like to never broke him, his wild nature. But honey, this one, Jesus said, nobody's ever sat on him. So Jesus gets the glory. Jesus gets the credit. Honey, who is it you're giving the glory to? Who is it you're ascribing the credit to and the honor? Amen. So you and I need to be lifting Jesus Christ for what he's doing in our lives. Fourthly, look back with me in the book of Mark, chapter 11, at their loud cries. Now I'm talking about their actions of submission. Verse 8, many spread their garments in the way. Here's Jesus as he's passing through. You see here in the sanctuary today, we've got this little aisleway here filled with garments and palm branches. And these garments represent submission of our lives and subjection of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Has he saved you? They not only put their garments upon the back of that donkey for Jesus to sit upon, then they took their garments and strew them in the way. And they took palm branches and they cut them and they began to straw them down in the aisle or down in the roadway for Jesus to be able to pass through upon. Honey, I'm talking about, are you taking time to raise your palms of victory and shout for Jesus has given you victory and joy and peace and goodness and gladness? As they lined the street that day, they're saying, our lives are in submission and in subjection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is why it is known as Palm Sunday. This is why it is known as the triumphant entry. Jesus is coming. Can you see him there? He's on that donkey. He begins to ride it, and he's coming down the mountain into Jerusalem. And where he's at, everybody can see him as he's riding through. And as he comes through the eastern gate. The eastern gate today is closed. In 1517, Suleiman the Magnificent, he conquered Jerusalem. And he heard that there was going to be a Messiah coming back through the eastern gate. And so because he showed his domination, he closed that gate, sealed it. They built double walls in front of it so no man could ever open it. No man could ever get through it. And to this day, think about how many years it's been. All these years, the eastern gate is still sealed until this day. But my Bible says, thank God for the book of Ezekiel, that when Jesus comes back, he will ride right back through that eastern gate. And this time he's not coming on a lowly donkey. This time he's coming riding on a white horse. He's done some horse trading, amen. He's done some moving up. Hey, rejoice with me. Amen. Jesus is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords, amen. Now, I get to thinking about how they're expressing their subjection and their submission. Notice with me their shouts of adoration. The Bible says in verse 9, they that were before him and they that followed him. Can you imagine the parade of those that are before him, those that are behind him, those that are lining up both sides of the streets? What do they shout? Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The term Hosanna, it means save us now. It means praise be to the King. Save us now. Then they said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hey, thank God for it. Can you say it with me today? Hosanna! Hosanna. Oh, I like that. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they saw him physically riding right in there. Thank God for it. Shouts of adoration. Why? Can you just see it? Then I turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19. We should have stayed there. The book of Luke 19. The Bible says in verse 38, parallel passage, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Now, some are shouting adoration. Some are submissive in their actions. But some are specifically aggravated. Can you see that backslid group of Pharisees? As they see all this taking place, they begin to grumble. "Look at that mess they've made. We'll have to clean up these streets. Look at these palm branches. God had grown them naturally, and you cut them in little sections and thrown them down. What a waste. And after all, this is an unlawful demonstration. You don't have a permit to have this parade through the middle of our street, Jerusalem. This is a godly place." And one little feller over here on the side, he's having himself a time. "Ooh-wee, woo, glory to God. Thank you, woo. I told you." "Calm down." "Sir," he says, "don't you tell me to calm down. I remember that time that Jesus was looking for something to feed the multitude with. There's 5,000 people that's hungry, starving to death. And he said, one of his disciples said, there's a lad here. He's got just a few loaves and a few fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Bring them to me." And Jesus blessed it and fed the multitude. Honey, I won't calm down because Jesus is still feeding the multitudes today. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. On this side of the street, there's another lady. She's over there just jumping up and down, praising God. And the Pharisee says, "Well, I can't calm that boy down, but I'm going to calm that lady down." "Ma'am, you're going to have to calm down." "I will not calm down. Where was you when I had an issue of blood for 12 years? You didn't even come see me. You didn't check on me. You didn't even put me on the prayer list down at the synagogue. But Jesus was passing through the street one day, and when the crowds lined up, I pressed my way, and I grabbed the hem of his garment. And when I grabbed the hem of his garment, I was made whole in an instant." And he said, "Daughter, I say unto thee, be whole. Your faith hath made you whole." So you tell me to calm down. I will not calm down. Amen. Then there's another man over there shouting and praising God. He says, "Y'all going to have to calm down, sir." "Well, don't you come over here and tell me that I need to calm down." "Yo, you need to calm down, sir." "I'm not calming down. Because I'm telling you that when I used to run through the graveyard and I had demons in me, they named me Legion. And nobody could tame me. I flipped over grave markers. I cut myself with stones. And you're telling me that I'm going to have to calm down and be peaceful when my Savior's riding down the middle of this street? Honey, I'm going to praise him. Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He took my demons and he cast them, amen, away from me. And they went back into the abyss. But here I am clothed and in my right mind. I think I'm just going to shout a while." Amen. Pharisees said, "Lord, can't do nothing with this bunch. This bunch is a crazy bunch. This bunch is hooked on Jesus, and I've never seen the like. We got to do something with this crowd. They're crazy." They turned to the other side of the street, and they seen a man on the front row up there jumping and leaping. "Woo, Jesus! Over here, Jesus! Dude, mind your own business. That side might not calm down, but y'all are here for an unlawful demonstration. I need you to leave. I'm not going to calm down. Quit jumping up and down. I'm not going to calm down. Where was you when I was laying beside a pool for 38 years? You didn't come by to check on me. You didn't pray for me. You didn't lay hands on me. But honey, that day as I laid by that pool, Jesus said, 'Wilt thou be made whole?' And I called upon his name. He picked me up. My ankle bones received strength. And honey, I picked up my bed. And I've been following Jesus ever since. I think I'm just going to keep praising him. Here he comes. Hosanna! 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 Back to the congregation, they see somebody else jumping. Dude, calm yourself down. I will not calm down. Wait a minute, I know who you are. You're the leper. You're not even supposed to be in the congregation. You're supposed to be outside the city. I'm inviting you to leave, or we've got enough Pharisees here to escort you out. You can't stay here and praise Him. We're trying to have a calm day in Jerusalem. And the leper says, oh no, bless God. I will not calm down, because I'm telling you that Jesus passed by my way outside the city streets. And when I could not see my wife, and when I could not hold my children, and I had to go around announcing, unclean, unclean everywhere I went. Praise God. Jesus came by my way that day and laid His hands on me and He cleansed me. Amen. And no longer do I have leprosy. Now I go to the house of God. Now I can be in the middle of the street and I can stand here and say, praise His holy name. Pharisees say, I don't know what's wrong with this crazy crowd. Lad and ladies and legions and lame men and lepers. And he looks and says, I think I see Lazarus. I was at Lazarus' funeral. I saw him when they rolled the stone in front of the door and they said, it's over for him. Lazarus, ain't that you? Yeah, buddy. Alive and well, in person today. What are you doing here? Wait a minute. Why are you alive at all? You ought to be dead. And I went to your funeral. But that was before Jesus come by my way. And Jesus walked up and said, take ye away the stone. And He called my name, Lazarus, come forth. And me, I was dead. I came forth bound, hand and foot. And Jesus set me free. And I will not come down. Hosanna! Are y'all okay? Amen. Amen! Hosanna! Here He comes, the triumphant entry of our King. And as He comes down the street, the Pharisees turn around and says, I can't stop Lazarus, and I can't stop the leper, and I can't stop the lame man, and I can't stop the lady, and I can't stop the lad, and I can't stop the legion. I'll just stop the Lord. And put their finger up in the face of our Savior. Can you imagine? They had to stop Him riding the beast of burden that day and said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. This is an unlawful assembly. They should not be getting so wild there. They should not be so disorderly. They should not be so excited. This ought to be a calm, peaceful event. And look, you've got the mobs motivated to serve you. You know what they're upset about? They're upset about the fact that they were trying to have one of them temple services and nobody was there. There's no electricity. Got a late start to the day. And they come over here and the crowd's going completely crazy and everybody's in the middle of the street and they're all focused on Jesus. They're not focused on the temple. Not focused on the chief priests. Not focused on the Pharisees. Not focused on what the offering is or is not. Not focusing on religion. They're focusing on the Savior. That's why we're here, youngins. It's the focus on the Savior. Yeah, bless His holy name. Well, when I begin to look at this scripture, I get a lone conclusion, number 5. It's found in verse number 40. He answered. You know, the rebuke. He answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If Lazarus and the lame man and the leper and the lady, if they're not praising God, the stones will start crying out. Then what you going to do? I mean, if y'all looked out here lately, you look over here towards the school, just beyond your blacktop pavement, have you seen how much gravel there is over there? You let them rocks start crying out. I ought to go get me a handful of them rocks, come in here. Let them start. Woo! Glory to God! Bless His holy name! You'd be like, whoa, get out of my head. I'm telling you, Jesus, the lone conclusion is this. He is Savior. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He is our Redeemer. He is the lover of our soul. He is the forgiver of our sins. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And if we don't praise Him, He'll find someone who will. Amen? I'm just crazy enough to praise Him this morning. Amen? How about praise Him with me for a while? Amen? This is God's sovereign plan being enacted. Hallelujah to God. Bless His holy name. He's good this afternoon. Amen? Can you hear those stones crying out? Those Pharisees, they walk away defeated. The crowd walks away rejoicing. But by the end of the week, the Pharisees have doing some whittling on the testimonies and witness of these people and now have got the crowd to turn. Instead of saying, crown Him, they say, crucify Him. Now, I want to remind you of something. Do you know who's in charge of this event, the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ? Jesus is. Jesus has allowed this public display to happen to demand you make a choice. You either choose to crown Him or you choose to crucify Him. And although there's a lot there to crown Him, there's just as many probably gathered, if not more, saying, crucify Him! Crucify Him! And they did. And by the 70 A.D., Jerusalem as a city and the temple itself was conquered by a Roman emperor by the name of Titus. And when Titus came in, he destroyed those walls. Imagine those walls crying out now. Down they crumbled. Down they fell. Staying without Jesus, we'll never stand. Without Jesus, we're never going to make it. And all of Jerusalem was completely destroyed. They had a chance to testify and to give witness. Oh my, I don't need things crumbling falling apart in my life. Amen. I need to be building Him up. I need to be lifting Him up. I need to be rejoicing in my sweet Savior. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 41, when He was come near and He beheld the city, He wept over it because He knew when the Romans came in because of the rejection, they would butcher people. They would banish people. They would bash the heads of little babies, like my granddaughter, God help, against walls and destroy them, trying to defeat the Jews forever and ever and ever. Now I'm thinking about something. They may think they stopped Jesus, but Rome didn't stop Jesus. In fact, if you have your Bibles this morning, the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'm done. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 35, I'll preach my shoes untied. Amen. You're turning. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. Everything that we know, the sun getting up in the morning and the sun setting, how far the ocean comes in and how far it goes out, how much rain you get and how much dryness you get. Everything is under the hand of God. And if you can, look at the next verse, verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. You want to stop God? You want to stop His triumphant entry? Just tell the sunshine not to get up. See if it will. Tell the moon. Go down, no more moon. See if it obeys your voice. Protest and hold your breath and pick it all you want to. We don't want the stars to shine at night anymore because they testify of the glory of God. And we're against stars and we're against sunshine and we're against the moon. We're going to pick it and protest and we're going to sign petitions till they all quit. We're going to tell the ocean, you can't come back here this close to the shore anymore. You have to stay away because you're giving glory to God as Creator. Back up. You come meet me when you stop the moon and the sun and the sea from doing what they do. You see, God established them. And they'll continue as long as God continues to allow them. One day, there's going to be another triumphant entry. Some golden daybreak or some night at midnight, the Father's going to say, "Son, go get your bride. Bring home my children." And Jesus is going to stand and the trump's going to sound and He's going to step out on the cloud. He's going to say, "Arise, my love. And all those that are dead in Christ and all those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." What do you think is going to be happening on the street of that city? "Preacher, I don't like it. You've made a lot of noise. You've got kind of loud today. We're embarrassed at the mess you've made and the excitement you're trying to build up. And preacher, dear, we really just wish you'd just calm down." Honey, are you really going to heaven? Because I'm telling you, this is the quietest place we ever going to be. They are shouting the hilltops of glory even right now while I'm preaching. They're saying, "Preach on, preacher! Preach on, preacher! Tell them! It'll be worth it after a while, amen." Oh, yes. He's going to bring us home. And on earth, 7 years of tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to make a peace treaty with Israel. Oh, and times are going to be so good. They're going to look so wonderful. And then God's going to break open that first seal. And the second seal. And the third seal. And so on and so forth. And we break all seven seals. And the trumpet judgments. And all seven trumpets blow. And seven bowls of wrath are poured out upon the earth. And listen, 1/4 of the 8 billion die. Then another 1/3 of the 8 billion die that's just still alive. I'm telling you, the grass is going to burn up. The waters turn to blood. The moon and the sunlight's going to be shortened by a third. Honey, it's going to be a day like it's never, ever been. And Jesus is going to come with all His armies that are in heaven. Preacher Darren, who is that? Angels? Oh, no. That's you and you and you and me. And we're going to be riding on horses. Yes, sir. We're going to be riding on horses following our master. And He said, "Just charge. Follow me." And we're going to come back. And the Antichrist is going to say, "Put him up." And Jesus is going to speak a word. And down he's going to fall, destroyed and defeated.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus is going to tell that eastern gate, "Swing wide the gates. I'm coming home." And the gates are going to swing wide. And He's going to duck His head and come under and say, "Peace, peace be unto Jerusalem. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And we're going to ride through that gate with Him, honey. And we're going to have a time there.
Amen.
Preacher Darren, you've lost your mind. There was a day on July 13th, 1978, that I was in the misery and the rags of sin. I was going to hell. And I was so under conviction. And I heard about one who could save me.
Yes.
And I swung wide the gates. And I said, "Come on in, Lord. Would you receive me?" I said, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Save us now." "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And He saved my sin-sick soul. And I give Him glory, praise, and honor. What a Savior, amen. Can you just see that little donkey? Woo! They bring him to Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, we're going to put our clothes and our garments upon your back. Set on him." And then they tell the little donkey, "Giddy up." And he starts going. And there he comes. That little flop-eared donkey. And people are casting garments in his way. They're throwing palm branches. You know a donkey will spook at nothing. Right? They're throwing palm branches in his way. Just imagine people are casting their disillusionment, their discouragement, and their despair, and their unanswered prayers, and all the issues and worries. Have you got issues and worries and negativity and people condemning you? They're throwing all these things that they are. They're laying them down under Jesus' feet. And that donkey, though he ought to be distracted, and they said, "Look at that stupid donkey. How ugly. It's even a flop-eared donkey. I mean, surely he could have called a better donkey than that. And listen, and the donkey said, no. Don't look at me. Look at my rider. Look at the one I'm lifting up. Look at the one that's controlling me and has put all things under his feet. That little donkey, he never spooked. He never quit. He was facing the challenge. Oh, yeah. But he's kept on moving for the glory of God. Hey, can you imagine? I mean, there was health concerns. There was negativity. There's issues. There's financial constraints. There's all kind of problems. And that little donkey, maybe he bowed his head and said, you know, it is true. I am unworthy. I'm not a royal steed. I'm a common, cursed little animal that ought to be tied up where it was. And the Lord, he sees the donkey, it hesitates. And then Pharisees said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And the donkey stops for a second. And he thinks, it's all over. It's a good ride. And the Lord looks down at him. He says, I tell you that if these would hold their peace, the stones would cry out. And he gets that little donkey, and he gets him just a little in the side, says, giddy up. And the donkey hesitates, and the Lord leans over, takes his little flop ear and bends it up and says, don't forget, I chose you. I could have chose anybody. But I chose you to lift me up. I chose you. Let them hurl their negativity. Let them hurl their despondency. Let them hurl their discouragements. But at the end of the day, he chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you, son. He chose you to bear him glory. So, honey, I'm telling you, Hosanna! Let it ring forth, amen. Look at my rider. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, amen. You'll stand to your feet. Say, if you'd come play. Now, don't y'all move just a second. I want to tell you something. Just wait. I want to tell you something. Say, if you play. I appreciate you wanting to respond, but I want you to hesitate just one second. My preacher friend went to the Middle East, and he went into Jordan, and he was eating in a restaurant with his whole tour group. And all of a sudden, all the people in the restaurant started jumping up and running out of the restaurant one by one by one. They started lining up the sides of the street, and the preacher just sat there, and he said to the owner, he said, where's everybody going? He said, I must go too. He said, wait, before you go, where are you going? He said, King Abdullah, our king rides through town. We must meet him on the street. And the shop owner, the market owner left him. And the preacher said, you know what? I didn't feel a thing. The king was coming by and I didn't feel a thing. But then I realized something. That ain't my king. But he said that was a Sunday morning. And my king come riding by. And I found him, and I knew him there. And I took time to praise him and to honor him and to glorify him. Honey, I want to say to you today, if you have sensed the King of Kings making his way by, I challenge you as a man or as a woman of God, get on your knees and praise him and worship him and give him glory. Because he chose you. Come on right now. Mind him. He tells you to come if you want to come. Come on right now. Come on right now. That's my king. Amen. Praise God for your moving and your obedience today. Praise God. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Well, if you're at home, I challenge you. Take the time to bow your head with me. Take the time, if you're able, get out of your chair, get out of your seat, pull the car off the side of the road, and take time to bow your head and say, Lord, Hosanna, I praise you right now. Save me right now. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Let's pray. Father, this afternoon, we praise you and we honor you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, inside my soul, I'm just jumping and jumping and jumping with excitement. But my body cannot express it. My lips won't move fast enough. My flesh can't show you, Lord, just how much I love you and how much I praise you. You're worthy. Worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For you are the peacemaker. You are the Redeemer. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God, maybe there are those of us flop-eared donkeys that's trying to lift you up right now, that there's been financial issues, health concerns, doubts, disappointments, discouragements. Lord, they've landed right before us. And God, that little old donkey, he wasn't spooked. No, Lord. When you spoke in his ear, I chose you. He just kept on walking. Well, thank you, Lord. And everything that he walked upon was under his feet. Woo! Nothing knocked him down. Nothing brushed him back. Nothing put him on his back two legs. Oh, no. Everything that was under your feet was under his feet. Woo! Lord, help us, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen and amen. Woo! I was praying there, and the Lord just gave me a little thought. Everything that's under his feet is under the donkey's feet, as long as Jesus is doing the riding. Amen! You've tried to do this thing in yourself too many times. You've tried to solve your own problems and fight your own battles too many times. But honey, if you got the rider of Jesus Christ on board, everything will be under your feet that's under his feet. He's not going down, and he won't let you go down either.